Hello, and welcome to Patron Deities, a show about deities for my patrons. This is a bonus episode of Patron Deities, and it's available not just to those who subscribed at the $2 level, but to all my patrons of whatever level. Every so often, I like to record some bonus content to thank all of the people who've chosen to support Monster Man on Patreon, and this is one such episode. And I thought I would do something related to the theme of Patron Deities, but not based on one of the deities from the Deities and Demigods book, which is what we normally do on Patron Deities. This came up from an email from a listener asking about the ruinous powers, the gods of chaos in the Warhammer setting. And I thought that I would maybe do a little bonus content about them. And today I want to talk about, I feel like I'm leading with my strongest hand because this is my favorite chaos deity. This is the chaos god whose followers I play in Warhammer 40,000. Insofar as I play that game at all, and that is Nurgle, the god of plague. I find Nurgle really interesting because Nurgle exemplifies the blend of horror monster and fight monster that I feel like the Warhammer games are so good at, and that I think is a really useful monster to have in your toolbox in Dungeons & Dragons as well, or in any fantasy game. Now, let me explain what I mean by that to begin with. A typical horror monster in a horror movie, like a wolfman or something, can be frightening because of the physical danger that it poses. But that is in a setting where it is assumed that the characters aren't likely to pose a physical threat to it, right? Even in something like the film Dog Soldiers, where the characters are soldiers and they have guns, they're outmatched by the werewolves and they have to use their wits and cunning to survive. But in a fantasy adventure game, the assumption is that the player characters are heroic characters with a certain degree of agency. You know, even if they're not very high level, they don't typically feel like an existential fear of a monster that's like a fear of murder, right? That they, you know, they expect to be able to resist, successfully or unsuccessfully, a physical threat monster. So there has to be another level of horror. And one of the most common types of horror is the fear of being like the monster, right? Is it not only do you not want this guy to get you, but you don't want to end up like him, which is definitely one of the fears that underlies the zombie. You know, you don't want to become a zombie. Zombies don't seem like they're having a lot of fun. Although, actually, as we'll see, monsters who do seem like they're having fun are also frightening. This is part of the horror of The Shadow of Rinsmouth. You know, Lovecraft wants us to think that the monsters are proud and happy about what they are, that they're so like lost to humanity that they don't understand how bad that is. This is open to a lot of other interpretations, but we'll leave it for now. So the deal with Nurgle is that Nurgle is grotesque and horrible, but also menacing, but also kind of relatable. And what's really interesting is if you go back and look at the earliest stuff about Nurgle, if you go back and look at the Second Realms of Chaos book, which is the first place that Nurgle's cult was really detailed, you get this portrayal of Nurgle's cult that is in many ways quite sympathetic. We are told that chaos gods are created from the psychic energy associated with particular emotions. So, for example, Khorne, the god of war, is created from the psychic energy of anger and hate. But it goes to some trouble to point out that this doesn't necessarily mean evil. The anger of someone whose family are murdered at the people who murdered them still contributes to Khorne, still contributes to that monstrous god of war and carnage, even though the motivation may be noble. It says that the psychic energy that powers Nurgle doesn't come from disease, right? Diseases are just real things. They're not people. They don't have thoughts. They don't have psychic energy to contribute. Nurgle is the result of the human recognition of the inevitability of death and decay, and the human response to that, which could be either despair, or fortitude, or a sort of absurd gallows humor. And that humor plays an important role in Nurgle. Let me read you a quote from Realms of Chaos, The Lost and the Damned, which is the book that describes Nurgle and Tzeentch. Slaves to Darkness is the first book in the series. Nurgle may typify decay and disease, but he also embodies the human hope and energy that defies the inevitable. And it goes on to say, "The palace of today is tomorrow's ruin, the maiden of the morning is the crone of the night, and the hope of a moment is but the foundation stone of everlasting regret." And then goes on to say that Nurgle is nonetheless full of unexpected energy and a desire to organize or enlighten. Because Nurgle isn't about disease, he's about the way humans think about and react to disease, which is often with kind of like hopeless but enthusiastic attempts to prevent it, or with a recognition of the ridiculousness of the situation, which is why Nurgle is the chaos god with the sense of humor, not, as you might expect, Tzeentch, the god of change. Nurgle is about recognizing the inevitability of your own mortality and finding the fun and the humor in that. Which is why the best way to describe Nurgle's overall kind of attitude, like the emotional resonance of Nurgle, is that Nurgle is jolly. I mean, and this carries through pretty much through 30 plus years of the history of the Realms of Chaos. In the most recent Warhammer 40,000 box set, one group of Plague Marines are described as just kind of like laughing as they go into battle, like, and not like cackling, but chortling. You know, they just find it all, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Even when they die, it's going to be ridiculous. And of course, this is most typified by Nurgle's cutest demons, the Nurglings, who are little mischievous sprites that go around pulling gross jokes on people. They're often sculpted as little additional details on other Nurgle miniatures, and they're always, like, having fun, stealing people's helmets. You know, one's got a hold of a big pile of grenades, and he doesn't really know what to do with them. Like, they're little mischief makers. And when the manifestation of Nurgle appears in the old world, in the world of Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, it's described as like a carnival come to town. For all that they're absurd and over the top and have the shoulder pads and the spikes and the mohawks and so forth, the Warhammer games tend to draw on a wide variety of traditional sources. Brian Ansel will be the first to tell you that the name Nurgle is in fact derived from the Babylonian god Nergal, the god of the underworld, I think also present in Sumerian, and he's in the Babylonian mythos section of deities and demigods. Although, I wouldn't, you know, there's not, other than the idea that they're gods of death and the underworld, there's not much that Nurgle and Nergal have in common. The presentation of Nurgle is most obviously influenced by the Dance of Death, which is a late medieval Renaissance artistic tradition that shows a bunch of capering skeletons together with a bunch of living people. And the idea is that it shows people from all walks of life. You got a pope, an emperor, but then like a laborer, a little kid, you know, a maiden, all these different sort of people. They're all subject to death in the same way. You know, no matter how powerful they are, no matter how wealthy they are, no matter how beautiful or whatever, they're all ultimately going to share the same fate. And this is tied to the idea of the inevitability of death. You know, that death is something that in a medieval or post-medieval society, we don't really fully understand. We just have to accept. You know, you have to accept that someday you're going to die. And not just like you're going to die at the end of your long life, but that you might die really at any moment for reasons that you don't completely understand. So you just have to live, like there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to accept it and prepare for it. So the imagery of Nurgle is tied to these grotesque and macabre, indeed this is where the term danse macabre comes from, that's the dance of death, images that are to do, again, not with death itself, which is just a cosmic fact, but with how humans relate to it. So Nurgle comes to town as a carnival, which is like, you know, the plague coming to your village or whatever, and I love some of the images that are associated with it. So we're told that plague bearers, the sort of rank and file demons of Nurgle, are always counting, adding up the totals of those who have died of the plague, and that the Great Unclean One, the most powerful demon of Nurgle, is like a stage manager trying to arrange all of this and keep the rambunctious brood of Nurgle demons under control. I think those are all wonderful images, and they would be frightening at a D&D level too, the idea that these demons have arrived in some village to bring the plague, and to them, like, they're having a fun time. This is a fair. They're having a holiday. The holiday is they're gonna kill everybody here. So I think that there's definitely a sense of grotesquerie that you can add to a scenario, even where the scenario is a pretty typical, like, first we found the cultists of Nurgle, then we fought the demons of Nurgle, and then we had to track down the greater demon of Nurgle in its lair and kill it. Like, that's a very normal scenario structure, but you can do that all with the comedy carnival. This all ties into sort of gothic imagery as well. Like, you can definitely see that fixation with, like, carnivals and circuses, ranging from things like the Joker to the Vampire Circus. Is that a Hammer movie? The one where someone gets decapitated by having someone put a crossbow over their head and then pull the trigger so the string snaps forward and cuts through their neck. I don't think that would work in real life, but, you know, it's still a fun movie. It does have a surprisingly good lycanthrope transformation sequence, though. So I think that these guys translate over pretty easily into any fantasy role-playing game. All you gotta do is take your local death or disease demons and give them that jolly veneer of comedy. And they would make for very unsettling clerics of the god of death, right? It's definitely still an evil cult, but you can imagine them as like haters of the undead, for example, like, or even like very perverse clerics of life, because, you know, Nurgle is tied to this idea of life. Like, he's a death god, but he's a life god as well, because disease is life, corruption is life, like rot is life. Those are all living things. And if one thing dies to give life to another, then, you know, it's all part of the circle of life. Indeed, a series of circles is the logo of Nurgle. And I believe that the in-game fact that the three circles of Nurgle can be represented either with two on top and one on the bottom, or one on top and two on the bottom, is a justification for the art department not being sure which way it was supposed to be up, I think. But I don't know. Anyway, so if you're going to bring just one deity of chaos into your other fantasy role-playing game, I think Nurgle is the best one. You're likely to have a plague god already, but it's also likely to be some stark, skull-faced figure in a robe, rather than a jolly, bloated corpse god with a big, cheese-eating grin. And I think that the second version is more memorable. The only problem with it is that the Warhammer properties are so well-known that everyone's just going to be like, oh yeah, Nurgle. It's also a visual thing. I just think the big cheesy grins go so well with the idea of monsters. It's very disconcerting to find monsters that are happy. What are they happy about? What have they got to be laughing about? So I feel like Nurgle translates across into other games well, or if not, taking your existing death and disease cult and just making it more cheerful, I think, can make it a lot of fun. Player character clerics of Nurgle are going to have an uphill struggle to get accepted, because it's hard to imagine that they would go around healing people. But on the other hand, it's easy to see how a doctor would ultimately turn to the worship of Nurgle, right? That you sort of like, well, I tried to stop the plague and regular cures didn't work, so I went looking for more esoteric methods, and then eventually I became enlightened and I realized that it was time to stop worrying and love the plague. So that's more of a villain background than a PC background. I think PC clerics of Nurgle are going to be hard, which is not as true of some of the other deities that we're going to be talking about in future special episodes. So once again, I just wanted to say thank you very much for supporting Monster Man. Every time that I discover I have new patrons, it's just wild to me that people enjoy this little show so much that they're willing to put their hard-earned money toward supporting it. And no matter what level you support at, I really value that fact. And I want to thank you for continuing to support Monster Man, a show about monsters. Wait, I can't do that. No, this is Patron Deities. That's a show about deities for my patrons. So thank you for listening, and thank you very much for supporting Monster Man on Patreon.